Communication Services Association Policy Board Meeting, Friday, January 27th. Do we have any alternates here this morning?
Mark Hopkins absent.
Okay. All right, action to approve the minutes of the December 16th meeting.
Move approval.
Moved by Sullivan, do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Wilson, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, those are approved. Comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll move on to item four, Executive Director's Report.
Okay, this kind of a shorter month with the holidays and vacation for myself. So one item I did forget to mention in last month's report that I'd like to bring up is on December 6th, Cedar Rapids had to transfer their 911 calls down here. They had an outage up there. So the city of Cedar Rapids transferred their calls down here, and they sent a body down here approximately 8 hours that day and took some calls. Ended up being a little more, as you might have read in press releases back in early December, the issue is a little more than just forwarding the calls. They actually had some network outage issues that were preventing some of their calls from being forwarded. So they had a bigger issue than what was beyond just the way the system is set up for redundancy. But anyway, they did forward calls, and so it's kind of like, again, shows we just how we work together, and we've sent ours up there before, and they've sent ours here, and it works great. And so we did have that instance back in December, so I forgot to share that with everybody last month. The Harris upgrade has been delayed for Johnson County. They had some unforeseen issues in the upgrade with Linn County, so it's kind of nice this time that somebody else gets to go first. We experienced that about 4 years ago, and it's kind of not, when they installed their system, we had to upgrade first to get to their level. So now they went first, and they experienced some things. Nothing that caused any outages, but just some things that Harris wants to rework through engineering before they do it here. And I was very glad to tell them that was no problem, and we're surely glad to wait for them. So. Looks like it'll be pushed back to next month before they will start working on upgrading our sites to continue that system version upgrade to get us compatible with what Black Hawk County will be coming online with next year. January 23rd, I presented the 2018 operating budget to the Board of Supervisors. Went down and had the annual meeting down there. I think it went really well. Good feedback from the board. Seemed pleased with the direction we were all heading, so unless Rod has any other comments, I think the meeting went well, and we presented the budget, and I told him I'm glad to only have to come once a year to present. Last thing, this just within the last couple of days, we received an update from Merritt Construction on the roof, with more of a subsequent email later in the afternoon yesterday, that they got the only word they're getting from their contractor was that they think there's like a glacier effect to the concrete, and they wanted to hire a third party engineer like Shive Hattery to come in and give a review and stuff. But after looking through the rework agreement, and I got a lot to talk with Jeff because, like I said, this came after business hours yesterday. Sounds like we probably just need to stay on them and again remind them to follow the terms of the rework agreement that was put in place versus other ideas on the fly. So Jeff and I will work on that. Again, like I said, this was late last night, so we will work on that probably yet next week and give them back a response. And that's Dave's going to talk a little bit about a 911, so I don't know what point under other business maybe. Do you want to talk about that? Okay, and I can, the state did a, they hired a consultant to go around and meet kind of regionally with emergency communications and the PSAP in the future on this whole consolidation, virtualization, and their consultants had just made some recommendations in there that if accepted by the legislature might roll back some of the increased surcharges that we were given to pay for the state system. So we'll talk a little bit about that under other, and then hopefully just, I think the point was to have everybody kind of speak out to our representatives and make sure that that funds will get taken from us to pay for a state system that may need some funding. So other than that, that's what I have.
Any questions for Tom on the director's report? All right, Moving on to number five, discussion item, the Anderson Larkin and Company PC to present the financial audit for fiscal year 2016.
I'll introduce Brad. This is Brad Barnes. He's from Anderson Larkin. He conducted our fiscal year 16 financial audit. And this is his annual presentation at the January meeting of those results.
All right.
Welcome.
Or findings.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Glad to see you guys all so chipper at 7:30 in the morning.
Some of us late. But
no, that's okay. You should have two pieces in front of you. One is just a letter, and the other is the financial statements. The letter, I'm just going to touch on briefly. What this is our standard required disclosure to you. Here we would talk about if there are any significant findings, any disagreements with management, things of that nature. Happy to report there was nothing like that. Tom does a good job. We have no problems whatsoever. Only auto adjustment we had was related to the pension liability thing that came out last year. So everything went great. The only thing I want to touch on a little bit in this letter is kind of halfway down the first page. We do talk a little bit about the fact that estimates are within the financial statements, and depreciation is considered an estimate, and that's actually a pretty significant piece of what makes up your expenses. And I'll touch on that a little bit later, but I just wanted to point that out, that depreciation is embedded in these financial statements. So, any questions on that? Okay. So I'll jump into the financial statements, and I wanted to start with page 2. This is our independent auditor's report. I wanted to point out here, it talks a little bit about management's responsibility and auditor's responsibility. Management's responsibility is to prepare the financial statements in accordance with GAAP, and this includes the design and implementation and maintenance of internal control. Our job primarily is to provide an opinion on that fact, to make sure that that statement is true. And towards the bottom, opinion paragraph, what this describes here is an unmodified or clean opinion on the financial statements. Good job, Tom. And pages 4 through 6 is what's called the management's discussion analysis. And it's really the only piece of the financial statements that's kind of on a comparative analysis. So I do kind of like to just point that out. And I also want to point out that what you see in there is on the full accrual basis. Which is different. There's actually two pieces to these financial statements, and that's just a governmental thing. I know it's a little bit confusing, but I will touch on that briefly as well. Page 5, statements of net position, shows comparisons between the 2 years. Total assets, $13.8 million this year versus almost $2 million last year. The biggest decrease there is just capital assets recording depreciation. That's why that would go down that much, and that's where decrease in assets would be. Other than that, total net position down by approximately the same, $9.1 million compared to $10.5 million last year. And then page 6, again on a full accrual basis, shows your total revenues, total expenses. Total revenue is very consistent compared to last year. Total expenses actually down a little bit this year, and I think that had to do with the admin function. There was actually less expense there this year. But ultimately, changing that position, that's actually like a what we consider like a net loss. But again, $1.8 million of that has to do with depreciation. So if you back that back out, actually you would have had a net income for the year. Any questions on that so far? No? Okay. Page 7 and 8 basically shows what I just talked about in more detail. And that's on a full accrual basis. pages 9 and 11 are what's considered the modified accrual basis, so it does not take into account long-term assets or long-term liabilities. So that's where you don't have your capital assets, and you don't have that net pension liability. So to me, it gives you a more clear picture of how you sit on a more cash basis, I should say. Now, the way these financial statements are designed, it does not give you a comparative analysis. I did write on my copy, and mostly it's very comparable. Last year, assets are actually up about $400,000. On page 11, again, I think this gives a more clear picture of actually what happened throughout the year. Total revenues, $3.2 million. Actual expenses, almost $3 million. Had net income of about $279,000. Page 13 starts the notes to the financial statements. Note 1 is your significant accounting policies. I don't leave anything changed throughout the year for that. I'm just kind of highlight some of the major notes. Some of these, I guess, I would not consider a significant note disclosure. Let's skip to page 17, note 4, capital assets. Here's where we show we list your assets and then accumulated depreciation by asset type. So you actually ended the year with almost $20 million in capital assets, and then had accumulated depreciation of almost $8 million, giving you net capital assets of $8.186 million. And then here we also describe depreciation expense for the year was $1.874 million. Now your long-term liabilities really just represents compensated absences and the net pension liability. Net pension liability was represented $1.141 million of your total liabilities. And I'm not going to go over note 6, but note 6 basically talks about IFRS and how IFRS works, and about anything you would ever want to know about IFRS, it's right there. There's a lot of informational stuff there. Note 7 on page 22. Here we describe your contractor limits to leases and your future minimum lease payments based on contracts that you have out there. So basically through 2021, you have a $161,000 commitment.
That's for tower land, I suppose?
That's, yep. Uh, 23 and 24 is more pension related stuff. Just eventually this will be since this just came out last year, there's going to be eventually a 10-year rolling statistic there, I guess. I'm going to call that. Page 26. Here we talk a little bit about internal control, and in the middle there we talk about what a significant deficiency is and what a material weakness is and what that means to the financial statements. And if you look at the second to the last paragraph, last sentence there, it says we did identify internal control that we consider to be a material weakness. And that is described on the very last page on 28, internal control deficiency and segregation of duties. And that's a very common comment to have if you're a smaller organization. You don't have the resources to manpower segregation duties necessarily. It doesn't mean Tom's doing anything wrong or that we suspect anything. It's just to make you guys aware anything that can be looked at for segregation of duties, the way staffing that you currently have, that's something you should always be looking at to strengthen. So that's all I have. like I said, everything went very well. No issues. It went pretty smooth.
Any questions for Greg?
Well, that material weakness, I mean, obviously it's small staff, like you said. Is there anything, given the small staff that we have, that you would suggest?
No, I think we were here. I think you guys were down a staff member, I believe. So there was extra duties being handled that are incompatible duties. So I would say just anything. And I don't know if that's still an issue, if that staff member has been replaced, or
will be this first quarter.
Okay, so that in itself will probably help. And anything you guys can do to get involved, as far as oversight, which that also helps strengthen that type of stuff too.
Yeah, one of the things we did about 3 years or 3 or 4 years or so ago, Rod, was we started having Tom send the chair the list of all the monthly expenses to approve before they were done.
Okay.
So, because I know when I started getting it the last time I was chair, one of the things I came back with and said, please explain what these are. And so we actually have an explanation, because I had no clue what some of them were, and I didn't know if they were legit. I mean, I assumed they were, but need a little explanation. So that's included with it. And so he sends that out, I don't know, a couple times a month or whatever to the chair.
Usually biweekly. That was kind of one of the feedbacks from when Mike did, when Publiska did the audit. That was kind of one of his things, was just more oversight on the bills. If we email someone and they kind of bless them, and then they get put in the packets at the board, at the meeting. And he said they would always, we'd probably always have that paragraph, just due to our size. But
it's stuff to get away from.
Yeah, but they were.
So that was one effort that we made to overlook it a little bit more. Anything else, though? Thank you, Brad.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah.
Item number 6, action to approve revolution.
I hope it'll be okay.
Yeah, okay. We all know where we're at this year. To approve resolution 2017-01, approving the collective bargaining agreement ratified by the Communication Workers of America Local 7101 to take effect July 1, 2017.
So in your packets, this is basically the summary of the changes that were made to the current agreement versus just confusing around putting in the whole packet. This has the marked up version as well. We finished this up on December 13th, and the union ratified this on December 19th, and so now it is in front of the board for your review. I will say this was probably one of the more smoother and efficient negotiation sessions that we had, and that we think it went very well. And so, this only took probably a month and a half to work out versus a few. So if anybody has any questions in here on anything specific, be glad to answer them. There's really, some of the high points, I consider it a high point because it's a change from 6 years, and it's been something that I've tried to get each time is an increase in the contribution of the employee portion for their benefits. I know that each entity around us gets increases in build in, and that has been one area where that we've had difficulty getting there. And so this time we got a pretty good jump. We got from a $5 to $25 contribution for single, and we went from 40 to 40/45 to 65 for any other plan. That was the other nice thing, is now we're just broke down into two categories. You either have a single plan, or anything above that, you're on a family plan. Or you're contributing to the any other plan. So it's just two rates now to manage instead of three, which makes that better for us. But again, this is the first time in 6 years that we made some headroom there. And so hopefully we'll, and I think they understand that we'll continue to finally head in that direction. A couple things that are new that I think help JEXA just in our time of trying to recruit new applicants when we have turnover is some incentives. These incentives are listed in section 1505 for anybody who would come here that already possess some of the required certifications that we'd have to send people for. We went very conservative on those numbers based on the fact that that was less than, JEX was still saving over 50% of the cost of what it takes to send them to the training, lodge them, pay them, and pay them their meals and mileage, just versus an incentive for coming here already with that certification. And we tried to keep the cost at just what was the cost of the certification itself. So all the travel, all the wages, all of that, we would save by not sending them there. And so we are hoping, again, this would help us recruit experienced and qualified applicants and get them to want to come here and work and stay. We also pay the training officers now and the people who do quality assurance reviews for us. The quality assurance program has been a big program that Todd and Brandon have worked hard on over the last couple of years as we went to the electronic version of emergency medical dispatching, and they've also expanded that now out into call taking and dispatching. So we have staff here that have went to quality assurance school and became END QA certified, which is quality assurance certified, to review those calls. It's not necessarily a as staff grading another staff, it's a fixed set of compliances, and you're either checking did the question get asked or not. And so it's a way to improve the process. It's not used for discipline. So a staff member isn't giving a recommendation to discipline someone else. It's all about the improvement cycle. And then training officers, we're having trouble getting staff to want to train other staff in that time commitment because they weren't being compensated for it. And so we came up with a compensation clause in here to want to get those people to step up, because I have good folks that have a lot of experience that were not wanting to train, or they would train because we would direct that, but we want to make sure we're getting the best effort in that training. We want to put that all forward. So we're hoping with that we'll now get people excited to do it and want to do it. Then for the wage scale, that's kind of the last area. The first year was kind of the biggest jump. And again, if we remember 3 years ago, we went down $2 an hour. This kind of brought us back into the middle of things. We kind of got, as we got there, we got the 10 steps, which was big for us because if we recall, we were going 4.5 years and people were topping out in pay. So now we're going out 10 years, and that scale was extended last time. So after doing the salary analysis in comparison to our neighbors and the areas of our size, we had fallen behind, so we kind of are now just back up in the middle of where we were. So we went back $2 an hour, now we're kind of back in the middle, and now we're very competitive with everyone else. I'd say now we're finally within cents versus dollars of being off. So that's really good to the surrounding people that are agencies that are our size. So that brings us back into being very competitive and not ahead. We're not number one anymore. We're all kind of the same. So that first raise was a 2.75% only on the back half of the scale. That was for the people who were not affected from the previous scale, and they negotiated a $1 an hour plus a 1.25 for the first 1 through 5 steps. So that's how we balanced that scale out. And then for the remainder of the contract, the cost of living was just set at 2.5%. In the past, we were at 1.75 and 2% for 3 years. So this kind of brings us back up to speed. So that's really the most significant stuff. We spent a lot of time on how we fill overtime. I won't bore anybody with that because that's a very convoluted process in there. That was,
I didn't try to understand it.
Yeah,
I started skimming it.
I don't know that sometimes we get it, but that took, I would say, a lot of the discussion was just some of working out how people will be forced. And again, trying to manage we don't want to force everybody all the time, but we have to have a way to do it. So.
Questions for Tom on the contract? Do we have a motion for approval?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Rod, second by Jeff. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Before we leave this topic,
Jeff?
Jim Peters helped Tom negotiate this and just wants to communicate to the policy board that this agreement assumes that the health care law will remain the same. And there could be federal or state changes in the next 3 years, but we don't know what those are. So the assumption is it stays the same. That may be a false assumption, but we don't know what will change to anyway.
Right.
So just for the policy board's benefit, that could be an issue in the future.
Yeah, everybody will have that issue. That changes. All right, moving on to number 7 then, other business.
I just had one thing. I just wanted to draw everybody's attention. The, like Tom pointed out, the state of Iowa's consolidation study came out. Of course, right before legislature returned to session at the Capitol. 10 recommendations. The only one that really affects us that we want to make sure we communicate with our delegation and our lobbyists is the 7th recommendation, which is the return of the wireless surcharge from the 60% pass-through at the local level that we just got approved like literally a year ago, like one legislative session ago, to 46%. So I talked to the HSEMD administrator yesterday, actually, about it, and he said that he's directed Blake and his staff to actually not make any waves on that and not try and do that, but he said that's just our department. He said I can't guarantee you that somebody else won't try and make a run on it, but he said it's not going to come from HSEMD. So we'll see what happens. I've seen no bills introduced. Obviously our lobbyists are aware of it, but I just thought I'd point that out. Other than that, nothing that's really going to affect us. They talk about reducing the call processing equipment to 6 units throughout the state and mirroring the way they do wireline systems with the wireless system and making it a virtual. You know, that could potentially reduce our costs. The way they portray things is always interesting. They look at a 50-some million dollar savings over a period of 5 years to the state. Well, the state doesn't incur those costs. The local 911 centers incur that cost. So the assumption is that they're incurring that cost, which is just not accurate. But anyway, that's all.
Any other business?
Chris wanted me just to remind everyone of the meeting schedule, and then I will send out calendar request for those dates. As of right now, the next meeting would be March 24th, followed by June 23rd, followed by September 22nd. And then we always get into the November and December. So with that, you would bump up November to around the 17th because of the Thanksgiving holiday. And then the December meeting one, two, three, would be around the 15th or the 22nd this year, since that is earlier. People, we could stay on target for that meeting, but it would be the Friday before Christmas Eve weekend if anybody was traveling. So we can get to those dates as we usually talk about those about September. So just to put them on the radar, 12/15 or 12/22 for that month. And I will send out these dates just so we have them, but he just wanted to remind everyone of the schedule.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just get an email out with the dates. It'd be good.
Yeah.
Any other business? Motion to adjourn?
So
moved. Moved by Lundell, seconded by Wilson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Yeah.